The state budget is at the forefront of legislators' minds, even though it remains behind closed doors in a conference committee. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
Massachusetts now looks to be the last state in the country without a permanent spending plan for fiscal year 2019. Matt, what do you hear about the status of that $41.5 billion spending document?
That's right. Massachusetts is the last state in the country, with 46 states starting their new fiscal year on July 1st. Because of the way the conference process works and the closed-door nature of these negotiations, we don't know much about what's holding them up, but we do know there's a lot of differences between the House and the Senate. There are spending differences, but there are also major policy differences. There are efforts in there to put in some oversight of the state police following some of the scandals there. The branches have different takes on that, and it would appear, if you're reading between the lines, between some of the comments we've heard, that the immigration issue is also rearing its head in conference talks. The Senate taking a crack at a big policy initiative to limit local police cooperation with federal immigration agents. The House a little more reluctant to take this on, as leadership in that branch doesn't really sense consensus among its members about what they want to do. And this could be holding things up.
That's all in a spending document?
It is all in a spending document. When we spoke to Governor Baker last week, the governor told reporters that perhaps the legislature should strip all of that policy out, just focus on the line items, the spending items, and send him a budget so that they can get the spending plan in place. But after speaking with House Chairman Jeffrey Sanchez last week, he noted that the budget, it has been traditional that this is a vehicle to advance not just spending for next year, but also policy. It's something that's been done. It's a vehicle that they use, the tool they use to get some of these initiatives in place, and they don't appear to be backing off that.
Unbelievable as it sounds, there are other big-ticket measures that are still in need of work. Both the House and Senate have passed versions of some of these measures, but lawmakers need to work out the differences. Remind me what those are.
Yeah, well, this is the concern, and you heard the governor give voice to it, and I think lawmakers are also increasingly cognizant of the clock. And because the formal sessions end midnight July 31st, they have limited time to get these things done. And you have legislation that's passed both branches currently sitting in conference committee dealing with short-term rental regulation through sites like Airbnb. You have something dealing with data breaches in response to the Equifax data breach. You have a civics education bill and also a package of veterans benefits all before conference. And that's not counting the bills that haven't even gotten off the ground yet. There's an economic development bill that the House is looking at. There's the governor's opioid legislation. The Senate has passed an energy bill that hasn't yet surfaced in the House. So there is a lot of still remaining items on the checklist that leaders ostensibly wanted to get done this session. If it can all get done, remains to be seen.
Legislators worked through allegations of sexual harassment in the House and the Senate this year. They established a path for reporting sexual harassment and then set up guidelines to protect the victims. But in the sexual assault case involving former Senate President Stan Rosenberg's husband, Brian Hefner, Hefner's lawyer is calling for the accuser to be publicly named. Now, Matt, if a judge grants that request, what's the fallout?
Yeah, I think we don't yet know that, but there is, I think, a real concern about that potentially having a chilling effect on people coming forward. We saw the Ethics Committee launch its investigation into the conduct of former Senator Rosenberg's husband and whatever role the senator may have played. Privacy was of utmost importance, and when they hired the law firm to conduct that review, they tried to ensure that people could feel free to come forward or call a hotline and share their stories in private. If the courts were to force the disclosure of names, it potentially could have a chilling effect on people who do want to come forward or have stories to tell but don't want to be outed or risk their careers or a variety of reasons why they may prefer to remain private. So I think all of that is in play, but there's also the public's right to know, and the courts take this very seriously. So I think people are just kind of waiting and watching.
Matt Murphy, reporter and associate editor with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, New England Public Radio's weekly check-in at the State House. It's also a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get yours or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.